Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. You should have had it by now. You're not using that book enough. Oh, it wouldn't take you that long. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. All right, you found it, or you've given up one. So listen while we read. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, that's Christ, to be sin, or sin offering, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our Heavenly Father, give me preaching grace, and help the people to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, I'd like to tell you who I am. I am an ambassador. An ambassador is an authorized representative or messenger. That's what I am today. I am an ambassador of heaven. Christ is not here anymore. He's gone back to the Father. And so I am in his stead, saying to you, be reconciled to God. And that's a message of good news, that reconciliation with God is possible. And good news is really something today, isn't it? You turn on radio and TV and you don't get much good news, do you? So it ought to be refreshing what I have to tell you. Be ye reconciled to God. There's a need for reconciliation. And I'm going to quickly point out why there is a need. First, the God of heaven is holy. Psalm 145:17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Now, that's the situation with God. He is holy. He cannot think evil or do evil. He cannot lie. Couldn't lie if he wanted to in the first place. He can't want to. For he's holy. But man is sinful. It has not always been so. It was not so from the beginning. We read in the Bible in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our own image. And when God created man in his own image, he created man without sin. Man was outside of sin. But he was tempted by Satan. And I'm bound to tell you the truth that he listened to the voice of the devil, turned his back on God, and walked away. But God loved man even in his rebellion. And he devised a plan whereby sinful man could be reconciled to him. Sinful man could be reconciled to his Maker. And the basis of that reconciliation is Calvary. See, you and I didn't think this up. God did. The death of Christ, that's the basis for sinful men having reconciliation with God. You see, God doesn't need reconciliation. He hasn't done anything wrong. It's man that has sinned against the holy God. And it is sinful man that needs reconciliation with a holy God. And I say that's been provided through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And you might ask, who is Jesus Christ? He's God, Son of God. Well, they say, what else? Son of man. He's God. He's man. Not half God and half man. He is God. He is man. He's the God-man. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then John 1:14 says, and the Word, that is God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us. In other words, friends, God came down from heaven in the person of his Son and was clothed in human flesh, lived here on earth, and identified himself with us. Let's think about his earthly life. He sinful flesh, not sinful flesh, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. So he's born without sin. He lived without sin. Listen to the words. Hebrews 4:15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I need not explain that. 1 John 3:5. And you know that he was manifested to take away sin, and in him there is no sin. 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Now, since he had no sins of his own, since he lived a life in complete subjection to the will of the Heavenly Father, he could die for our sins, for he had no sins of his own, and that's what he did. He became our substitute. He died for sinners. And that includes me, and that includes you. That includes everybody, because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That ought to take the wind out of your sails. You can't hand that back to the other fellow. That includes you. All have sinned. I'm glad to tell you that Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, died for our sins. The Word of God speaks clearly. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now, doesn't that describe us? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, not God's way, but to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. Iniquity is sin. All our sins were laid on Christ. As literally as I lay this Bible down on this pulpit stand. My sins, your sins, were laid on Jesus Christ, and he died for them. 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. That big word just means satisfaction. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. So I can look you in the face and tell you today the good news is that Christ took your place and died for your sins. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now I'd like to read again 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is William's translation, and I think it's a very good translation. Here's the way it reads, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who personally knew nothing of sin to be a sin offering for us, so that through union with him, we might come into right standing with God. Amen. Now, when you come into right standing with God, you're reconciled to God. I remember one time I preached a message on the subject, how I want to die. How I want to die. And I said, first of all, I want to die at peace with God. And I know that's going to be true because I've accepted Jesus Christ and I'm reconciled in him. And then I said, I want to die at peace with the church. Folk, I'm serious about this. I want to die in the fellowship of one of the Lord's churches. Amen. You couldn't keep me out if you tried. You turn me out, I'll be back. You just count on that, I'll be back. We'll get it worked out. Let me say it again. I want to live and die in the fellowship of one of God's churches. And then I said, I want to die at peace with my family. Amen. And then I asked the question, how can I be sure that I'll die that way? It's simple. I just live that way. I don't know when I'm going to die or how I'm going to die. And so I live at peace with God. I live at peace with the church. And I live at peace with my family. So, when I die, I'll die at peace with God, with the church, and with my family. That's the way I want to die. Now, I want to give an invitation, first of all, to God's people. And I want this invitation to be heart-searching. It is not my purpose to condemn anyone. I want to commend. I want to exhort. I want to plead. And I'll say to you who are saved, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, if you really did that, you were born again, you're reconciled to God, and you're on the road to heaven. But let me ask you the next question. Are you reconciled to the church? Now, you know I don't. You do. I ask you that personal, pointed question. And in your own heart, you ponder it and answer it. Let me ask you another question. Are you reconciled with your family? You ought to be. I'm not asking for some unusual demonstration today, but you know, it wouldn't hurt if right now you just quietly put your hand in the hand of your wife and just say by that touch, honey, everything's all right between us. It wouldn't hurt for you to hug your wife publicly, your wife, not the other fellows. Sure enough, how about moving over a little closer together and indicate in some way? And if you don't do it in the service today, do it when you get home in the privacy of your home. Sons and daughters, I have a word for you. I want you, sometime today, maybe at the close of the service, or if you can now, or before this day closes, before sundown, I want you to indicate to your parents your love and respect for them. Will you do that? That's not asking too much. Now turn to the unsaved. We're going to get out on time. I know you think we won't, but we will. And on time would be 12:30. I want to say to the unsaved, God wants you to be reconciled to Him. And He's done everything He can consistent with His righteous will. He's done all He can. I speak reverently. God has done all He can to have you reconciled to Him. The Father gave His Son, and the Son gave His life. He suffered the punishment that's justly due you. You hear the agonizing cry from Calvary when Jesus was dying for us, and He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was not a sinner. He had done no wrong. But He was giving Himself as a sin offering for me and for you. That's good news, isn't it? And then the Holy Spirit is present here today. And the Holy Spirit has convicted or convinced you of the truthfulness of what's been said from the Word of God. We haven't been alone here. The Holy Spirit has vindicated what I've said to you about God's love and God's provision at Calvary. I can't read your mind, but I know what's going on in your mind if you're unsaved. You're saying within your heart, you know, that little preacher's telling me the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. God's causing you to know that it is the truth. And that's God's way of reaching out, wooing you and drawing you to Him, that you might be reconciled to Him. You say, what must I do to be saved? Well, first you have to recognize yourself as a sinner. You have to take God's evaluation of yourself, and He says you're a sinner. You have to turn from sin. Long as you hold sin in your bosom and coddle it and pamper it and love it, you'll never be saved. So turn from sin. Turn from self. You know what the center of your life is now, unsaved friend? It is self. Now, I'm being honest with you. It's self. I'm asking you to change the center of your life and let Jesus Christ be the Savior and center of your life. Call on God for mercy. That's what you need. You don't need justice. If you got that, you go to hell. You need mercy. Bible says God is plenteous in mercy. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember when I called on the Lord. No make-believe about it. With all the sincerity of my heart, I called on God, and I believed God would hear me. And He did. Well, that's been over 50 years ago, and it's like an anchor, it holds. And like a light, it gets brighter all the time. What must I do to be saved? Let me put it simply. Receive God's love gift to you. Say, what is that? Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Receive. You say, what does that mean? Well, look. I've got a dollar bill here. And the first boy or girl that comes, I'll make it handy for you. It's yours. Let's go get it. Come on. Don't you leave me? I'm serious. It's yours for the taking. Come on. Look, this is going to be a rich job. Gift. I earned that money. But he finally decided that I really meant, and he could trust me, that I'd turn loose of the money and he'd get it. Isn't that simple? You say, what does it mean to receive Jesus Christ? You see how he received that dollar? Will you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let Him in. He'll forgive you and save you. You do it now. And this will be the day of salvation for you. It's up to you. God's done all He can. It's up to you to make the decision. Say yes to God.